invite you, if you would, to turn to Jeremiah, the 17th chapter, verse 5 through 8, or at least to follow along in your Bibles, because this is where our study is going to be coming from this afternoon. We gave Isaiah a hearing this morning, and so now we're going to give Jeremiah a hearing. I've entitled this lesson, A Curse. Oh, but what a blessing. And I think that we find both of these. I know we find both of these in Jeremiah, the 17th chapter.
Can't hear me.
I'm sorry. Let me... One moment. Now, can everybody hear me? Wayman, can you hear me? All right. Well, let's try this again. We're going to be giving Jeremiah a hearing this afternoon. We gave Isaiah a hearing this morning, and so we're going to be looking at Jeremiah, the 17th chapter, verse 5 through 8. And so if you would, turn your Bibles there or follow along on the screen. We have contained here in these two, three verses a curse that is given by God, of course, to a disobedient people, but also the promise of a blessing. So I entitled this lesson A Curse, but oh, but what a blessing. And certainly, I believe we need to recognize and always look at the balanced word that is given by God, where there are warnings and so forth that are given by Him, but never forget. You know, it's easy to be pessimistic, it's easy to be negative, but never forget those positives that are there in Scripture also. And so we'll really focus on that. We'll mention the curse, but we're going to focus on the blessings. And the blessings, of course, that were to them or were qualified blessings, just as the blessings that we have today. So let's enter into this study together. When we look at the prophet, the orders that he received, Jeremiah, the first chapter, verse 4 through 10. I mentioned a little bit of that this morning, even though we were looking mainly at Isaiah. We see that God gave him instruction, and that he had told him, you're going to speak the things that I set before you this day. I've put words in your mouth, as he says, of course, and we read this morning in verse 9. I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down, to build and to plant. And so he received instruction. He was a prophet of God. He was to go out and he was to herald forth God's word. And I think many times when we think about prophecy, we may automatically think about just telling of the future. And certainly prophecy has that involved in it in many instances, but not always. Prophecy really means a proclaiming, a forth-telling, or a telling forth of that which has been revealed by God. And what is stated by God to Jeremiah really is, in a sense, stated to heralds or those that preach God's word today. It's reminiscent of what is said over in 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, verse 1 through 5, Paul, to the young preacher Timothy, I charge thee in the sight of God and of Christ Jesus, who shall judge the living and the dead by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And he gives the reason for that. It's not just to get on to people. It's not just to lord over people. It's not to make people feel bad. But as he says in verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. It says in the American Standard Version here, they will not endure sound doctrine, but having itching ears will heap to themselves teachers after their own lust, and will turn away their ears from the truth and turn aside unto fables. But be thou sober in all things, suffer hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill thy work, your ministry. And so just as God had given instruction to Jeremiah those thousands of years ago, those who teach the word, it's not just the preacher, but those who herald forth the word to anyone. These are the instructions, and it is preaching the word and the word that is needed, and the preaching of the word involves, of course, the urgency of it, as we see there in verse 2. That's preaching when people want to hear the truth and preaching when people don't want to hear the truth. You still tell them the truth. The reprove, rebuke, exhort, of course, is there. Those are both in the positive and the negative in this balanced presentation of God's will, but always with long-suffering and with this doctrine or teaching that comes from God and not from our own mind. And so it's still today, just as it was to Jeremiah those thousands of years ago, God's word needs to be heralded. And those that do it need to be true to the word. They need to be true to the word. Here's the curse that we see when we look in Jeremiah 17, verses 5 and 6. Thus saith the Lord, and this is the King James Version, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh the flesh his arm, and whose heart departs from the Lord. For he shall be like a heath in the desert, and shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited. I've included a more contemporary version in this because there is wording here that I don't want us to miss the meaning of the wording. And so I've included the ERV, the Easy Read version, in this particular passage of Scripture with some included thoughts that I put in parentheses. And this is the way that version reads. This is what the Lord says. Bad things will happen to those who put their trust in people. Bad things will happen to those who depend on human strength that is opposed to spirituality, following after God. That is because they have stopped trusting the Lord. They are like a bush, that is the heath, or a stripped bush in a desert where no one lives. It is in a hot and dry land. It is in bad soil. The bush does not know about the good things that God can give. And the reason being is that they have trusted in the flesh, that is human strength, human wisdom, rather than that which is spiritual. And so here we have that warning that is given. And just to break that down, just very briefly, those that were trusting in the wisdom of the world. And Paul talks about that in 1 Corinthians 1 chapter, verse 18 through 24. It says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. That is the way that the world would look at preaching, the foolishness of preaching. For the Jews require a sign, the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. And I will tell you that that is based really upon, as even is recorded in Acts 17 chapter, when Paul was at Greece, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, him crucified, but also raised from the dead. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. And yet, here you have the wisdom that is so far above mankind, that is presented to us, that we have, that is available to us night and day, 24/7, God's word, and it's available to all people in all languages on the earth today, so that none can be without it, and yet there are those that will eschew that absolute wisdom and turn to the wisdom of men. There's a curse involved in that. And that is hopelessness as far as the soul is concerned. But also, there's trust today, I believe, among some about the brotherhood. I'll explain that more in just a moment. But look what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 10, 12 to 13. For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. But we will not boast of things without our measure, but according to the measure of the rule which God has distributed to us, a measure to reach even unto you. And what Paul is talking about here, those that have formed a brotherhood, a group, and I will tell you that I believe there's a danger of that even among brethren today. And I have seen it. I have seen it where allegiance is more toward the brotherhood than it is toward God's word and God and Christ Jesus himself. They're more concerned about being in relationship with the brotherhood than they are about being in relationship with the Father and the Son and the Spirit. And it is going to be a downfall of many today, and it's going to lead many astray because of that situation. And I'll tell you that it is prevalent with among brethren today. There is a brotherhood, but it is only from the standpoint that we have a relationship with Christ Jesus, and that we make sure that we have, and I'll just say it this way, all of our ducks in a row in serving God in the right way, and not look to other brethren about what we do. We make sure that it is in accordance with God's word. We have book, chapter, and verse for what it is we do and we practice. And that's what we're concerned with, no matter what brethren say. I've been in discussions with brethren not too awful long ago. And I had one of the brothers tell me, in opposition to what I presented from Scripture, he says, "Well, that's not the way that many of the brethren understand it." And my reply was, I don't appreciate what the other brethren understand unless I am wrong, but I look to God's word for direction and not to the brotherhood. And that's the way that we should all be. We look at 2 Corinthians 11, chapter, verse 19 and 20. "You yourselves are so wise, and so you gladly tolerate fools," he's telling the Corinthians. "You tolerate anyone who orders you around or takes advantage of you or traps you or looks down on you or slaps you in the face." And what he's talking about is those that seem to be in authority among them that would come in and lord over them. And that happens today among brethren and among congregations. There are brethren that have self-appointed themselves as keepers of God's kingdom. And we certainly are to be keepers of the word and doers of the word, just as Al mentioned in his prayer. But the Lord is over his kingdom, and he's given his word concerning how we should be as far as his children and as far as a congregation is concerned. And so we look to God's word, and there's a curse involved with looking to the brotherhood. The curse is we miss what the Lord tells us and that relationship with him. Also, the curse involves what takes place today, the trusting in self. And that's the reason Paul told the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians the 13th chapter and verse 5, "Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith, prove your own selves, know you not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates." And so that's not holding up somebody else, but rather that's truly looking at self and not trusting in self, but looking at the standard in order to make ourselves in an appropriate relationship to the standard that is given, which then puts us in relationship with Christ Jesus. And it's a hard thing to do. And that curse is there upon those that will not look at self and really consider self. And again, it's a hard thing to do, to come down on ourselves. But that's exactly what Paul says. Examine yourselves and to see if you are in the faith, and you prove your own selves. That by God's word. And sometimes this may be the hardest. Know you not your own selves. I'll just be honest with you. I'm shocked every time I go in front of the mirror and look and see what's staring back at me. How in the world have I come to this point? But especially it's true and needs to be noted in connection with our spirituality and our relationship with the Lord. And we look into his mirror, God's word, James the second chapter, first chapter, verses 22 and following, and make sure that we really see the real man, the real person that we are. Paul says in Romans 7, verses 18 and 19, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh," and what he means by that, me conducting myself without God, "that in my flesh dwells no good thing. For to will is present with me," if I'm not following God's will, "but how to perform that is good, I find not unless I look into God's will. For the good that I would do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do." Separate and apart from God, we would just follow our own desires. So the curse really comes from, and the same thing true with what Jeremiah was speaking of in chapter 17, verse 5 and 6, and the same thing is true today. The curse comes from looking inwardly. And I will also include looking horizontally, rather than the way that we should look, that we'll talk about here in just a moment. So there you have the curse. But then you have this great blessing. And this is what I want us to focus on, because I will tell you that the blessings, whenever we enter into them by the qualifications that are given, they outweigh the curse so greatly because we've overcome through the Lord. The curse that is there, we've overcome it by doing His will. And here we have then that great blessing. Blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when the heat comes. But her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. We're going to break this down point by point here in just a moment, but I'm going to read again from a more contemporary version this particular passage. But those who trust in the Lord will be blessed. They know that the Lord will do what He says. They will be strong like trees planted near a stream that send out roots to the water. They have nothing to fear when the days get hot. Their leaves are always green. They never worry, even in a year that has no rain. They always produce fruit. Here you have then those that are, and we'll make the application today, Christians in a covenant relationship with the Lord, likened unto a tree that is planted by the river, planted by the waters. Let's look at these blessings, and let's look at what we must do in order to have these blessings from this particular passage. First of all, as he says in the first part of verse 8, they will be strong like trees planted near a stream that send out roots to the water. And they're blessed because of the offering from the Lord. Jesus answered her, and this is in John 4, chapter and verse 10, speaking to the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman at the well. If you, whenever he asked for water, and because he had nothing to drink with, he said, give me to drink, you have nothing to draw with. And then Jesus replies to him, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. As a Christian, that's where we spread out our roots, into the living water, Christ Jesus in His Word. And we're blessed because then our lives reflect the teaching of the Lord. And we see that in John 7, chapter verse 37 through 39. It says, on the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, if anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink. Whosoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Now he said this about the Spirit whom those who believed in him were to receive, for as yet the Spirit had not been given because Jesus had not yet been glorified. But you look at what Jesus says there. What he's saying is that, first of all, when we told the woman, I have living water for you. And then what he's relating in John the 7th chapter is making sure that no one thirsts. And it came through the apostles, of course, God's word, that would cause then no spiritual thirst whatsoever. But then it's also passed on down through us, that we make sure that we give others to drink of also. God's word, that we find that has quenched our spiritual thirst. And we are thirsty no more as long as we look to God's word. There's one other aspect that I want to mention here, and that is the second part of verse 7 that we have at the top of the screen here. He says, but those who trust in the Lord will be blessed. They know that the Lord will do what He says. And I don't want to forget about that. You know, there is confidence, there is comfort in knowing that truth is spoken, and knowing that when we are told something, it's going to happen. And the only one that can do that truly is the Lord. Man can't do that. They can make promises. They may even have good intent. But the blessing really comes from the Lord, because we understand that what He says He will do. And it's not only with the blessing, it is also with the curse. that he will bless his people, but he will curse those that will not follow him. And in that, then, we can be like strong trees planted near a stream that send out roots to the water, the living water, Christ Jesus in his word. And it's there for us to drink. And it's there for us for our thirst to be quenched, that is, that spiritual thirst. And it's ever available to us. And what a great blessing that is, that we can take and drink of the Lord and never thirst again spiritually. We also see in the second part of verse 8, 8b, that this blessing comes upon, they have nothing to fear when the days get hot. Here's another blessing. And I go back to Jeremiah the 12th chapter, verse 5 and 6. Because the Lord admonishes his prophet to stand in troublesome times. And he says, if thou hast run with the footmen, and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses? And though in a land of peace thou art secure, yet how wilt thou do in the pride of the Jordan? For even your brethren and the house of your father, even they have dealt treacherously with you. Even they have cried aloud after you. Believe them not, though they speak fair words unto you. And so here he's saying in verse 8b of chapter 17, those that are blessed by the Lord, who has spread their roots out and drink of the tree of the waters of life, Christ Jesus, they have nothing to fear whenever troublesome times come. And so he likens that in Jeremiah the 12th chapter. And you think about Jeremiah's situation here. This man, known as the weeping prophet, he stood alone. He stood alone. There was no one with him, not anyone. He says, if you have run with footmen and they have wearied thee, he's talking about you, if you have prophesied to the common folk and they have wearied you, well, then how can you contend with the more powerful, the horses? And in presenting God's word, don't you be weary, Jeremiah. And then he says, and though in a land of peace thou art secure, and he's talking about relative peace. There was upheaval at the time, but not about what was to be seen when you go over into Jeremiah the 52nd chapter, whenever Jerusalem is overrun by Nebuchadnezzar. He says, in a land of relative peace, if you're secure, what will you do then in the pride of Jordan? And that pride of Jordan there, he likens unto, just as Al mentioned in his prayer, the roaring lion that walks about seeking whom he may devour. This is talking about the pride of lions that haunted along the Jordan River in the thickets that grew beside it to attack without warning. And what he's saying here is all relative. He says it's going to get worse. And you're going to have secret attack come upon you. And understand, you can't trust your brethren. You cannot trust your brothers. So you can't trust other Jews. You can't trust your brothers. They have dealt treacherously with you. But what he's saying in this blessing, what Jeremiah, of course, in chapter 17 and verse 8, is saying from the Lord, those that put their trust in the Lord have nothing to fear when the days get hot, when the times become troublesome. And so we too can stand if we trust in the Lord. Ephesians the 6th chapter and verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And if we're not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, Romans 1 and verse 16, for it is the power of God unto salvation. We talked about us this morning wielding the power, the great power that comes from God. It is the gospel. And as long as we stand in God's word, we have nothing to fear when their times become troublesome. What a blessing that is to know that we have that promise from the Lord. And then when we look in verse 8c, the third part here, he said, here's this blessing. He said, that tree that's planted near the water, near the stream, and sends its roots out into the water, that has nothing to fear when the days get hot, when there's troublesome times. He says, their leaves are always green. That is, they are always taking in of that living water. They are ever growing. 1 Peter 2, verses 1 through 3. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. don't miss the context here. I think many times when we think about milk, milk of the word, automatically we think about the things that are just easy to understand, maybe even the beginnings of the preaching of the gospel to those that are lost, faith, repentance, confession, and baptism. And so that's what we think of when we think of milk, but that's not what is the thought here. That's not the context in this passage. First of all, we are to be as newborn babes. We're not to be newborn babes always, but as newborn babes. Desire the sincere milk of the Word. And the milk there is talking about that all-sufficient sustenance that comes from God's Word. He's not talking about the more deep things or the less deep things. He's talking about all of it. That which is sustenance and substance from God's Word. That's what we must remain in. And if we do that, well, then our leaves will ever be green. And what he means by that, we will ever be beautiful before the Lord, and we will show that we are well nourished, we are well taken care of, that we have taken in all the sustenance from the substance that comes from God's Word. Peter puts it this way also in the third chapter in verse 18 of 2 Peter. But grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That growth takes place by taking in that sustenance of the Word. And then we are always ever growing. There are no shriveled, there's nothing shriveled about us. There's nothing dead and dying. That great blessing by putting our trust in God, even in troublesome times, as he mentioned, because our roots go out to the living water. But then he also says in the next part of verse 8D, they never worry even a year that has no rain. He's talking about not worrying, not being anxious about matters out of our control. Even in times that are certainly troublesome. He says, concentrate on that which we can take care of, and that is making sure that we trust in the Lord. That we take in that sustenance from the waters of life. That we do not fear when the days get troublesome. That we show forth our growth at all times. And as it says in Philippians 4, chapter verse 6 and 7, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I'm going to say that if all of us are honest, that when we get into situations where we just worry and we wring our hands and so forth, the vast majority of the time, it's about things that are out of our control anyway. And it might even be speaking to our true trust in God. And I think that's where this verse goes to. But those who trust in the Lord, and just use that first part of verse 7, they never worry even in a year that has no rain, even when there is troublesome times around us that we cannot control. In the statements that Brother Wayman made before the collection this morning, he talked about the troublesome times that's in our country right now, and certainly there are. And it may not be troublesome to you, and it's troublesome to others, and I understand that. And I'm not necessarily talking about just the political scene, but I'm talking about it from the standpoint of is that there's a lot of division in our country. And that is worrisome, but also from the standpoint of what Jeremiah is saying, or God is actually saying through Jeremiah, it's in God's hands, and we need to recognize that. We need to recognize that. We also then look at 8e, the next part of verse 8. But those who trust in the Lord, they always produce fruit. That is, they're ever abounding personally. They don't see these things, the year that has no rain, the days get hot, as a reason to give up and throw their hands up and say, that's it, I just can't go on. No, they always produce fruit. And Jesus talks about this, of course, in the parable of the seed and the sower, back in Matthew 13, chapter verse 23, where he makes an explanation of that parable. And he says there about the man that it had the heart that was good, but he that received the seed in the good ground is he that hears the word and understands it, which also bears fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30 when times are good. Is that what it says at the end of that verse, when times are good? No. No, that's not what is said there. It's really in all times, when there is drought, when there is famine, and that spiritually especially, when the days are hot, when it's uncomfortable and so forth. No, the true child of God continues to abound and always produce fruit. And God makes it where that is possible. Ever trying with others. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 10 through 15. According to the grace given to God to me, like a skilled master builder, I've laid a foundation and someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care how he builds upon it. That is teaching others. They're always producing fruit. For no one can lay a foundation other than that which has been laid, which is Christ, Jesus Christ. Now if anyone builds on that foundation, Christ Jesus, with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or straw, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. And what is meant by all of that is that there was always that continuing, that trying, that producing fruit in teaching others, whether they stay with the Lord or not. The blessing in all of this that we look at here in Jeremiah 17, chapter verse 7 and 8, that we know that, first of all, the Lord's going to do what He says. We have confidence in it. He gives us peace and He gives us a blessing. We are then like a tree planted by the water. We send out our roots into the living water. We have nothing to fear whenever times get rough. We are always showing forth the beauty of Jesus in us. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me is a song we sing. And that's really what is stated there. They never worry. Even in a year that has no rain, they don't throw up their hands. We don't do that. We don't take that which we have no control over and allow that to affect us in living the life as a child of God. But yet what we are doing are ever producing fruit. You see, when we do that, the blessing comes from looking upwardly, rather than inwardly or horizontally. We look to the Lord. Oh, what a blessing this is, isn't it? When we look at this. I know this was stated back during the time of the Mosaic Law, but what is stated here is true, and we've used Scripture to show each point in connection with that, how the application is to us today. What a great blessing that we have. Not one thing to worry about, not one thing to fear. We have the power from God's Word to keep us where we are always producing fruit and show His beauty in us. What a blessing. Oh, what a blessing. So I ask you this afternoon, what will you receive? The curse or the blessing? Will you begin to trust in the Lord today by becoming one of His children? You know, Saul of Tarsus was asked this question. Now, why do you tarry? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. If you're not a child of God, take care of the situation so that you can be blessed. So that you can stop looking inwardly at yourself or out or horizontally toward others, but rather look up toward God, look upward, and trust in Him, and do that today. Will you once again trust in the Lord today if you have lost your focus? 1 John 1 and verse 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we can once again be involved in those great blessings that Jeremiah spoke of. How wonderful that is. As we always end these lessons, we want to know if we can assist you in either becoming a child of God or returning to your Lord, to your Savior, to your God. Whether it's there at the building, and make sure someone's standing up there at the building in the front in case anybody wants to show or come forward and either become a child of God or to be returned back to the Lord in good stead with Him. Make sure someone is there at the building in the front. Please do that. But if you're online, you call one of our shepherds and we will get assistance to either help you become a child of God or to return once again to your Lord. We'll say a prayer for you this very hour. Or we'll make sure that you are baptized this very day. If there are those that we can help in any way, we ask you to come as we stand and sing.